Hello, Smagpies, and welcome once again to the Smagcast, episode number 51, coming to you from downtown Internet. I'm Kevin Heyman, creator of The Aaron Apprentice.
And I'm Catherine White, and I'm just hanging out.
I'm Emily Justice, and I'm joining you guys again. Woohoo!
And I'm the Smooth Sounds of Paul, coming back to you live once again from KK27 FM.
Paul 105.1, the river.
Yeah, as in Crimea River.
So, welcome back. Sorry we had a bit of downtime, but everybody's life sort of exploded there for a while.
Yes.
Which is messy to clean up.
It is.
Yeah, but fortunately we got a chunky. Yeah, fortunately we got a FEMA grant for that, so.
Yay.
We were federally declared podcast. The state share is 25%.
Well, so here we are again.
Entertain us.
Yeah. So, Kit, how have you been since the last time you joined us here on
Smagcast? Mostly working, and more working. My job has gotten into a lot of overtime with low staff. So that's pretty much been my life, the day job.
Okay. Fun!
Yay.
Okay, well, Emily, what have you been up to?
Keeping busy. Got some work stuff going on, mostly with a new job, trying to figure out the schedule for that. And then we have some stuff on the side with this podcast, and then I've been participating in a couple of other media things, a collaboration poem. I need to do a vlog recording after we finish this. And I also finally listed something on my Etsy store. So I'm going to try to make a little bit of money for a hobby that I've started, which is lino cut prints.
Nice.
So yeah. Right now. So
you
that's,
send us
that's
a link.
What I'm staying busy with.
Cool. All right. Well, Paul, what have you been up to?
When was the last time I was on here?
Several weeks ago.
It was before the tornadoes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I've been
dealing with tornado stuff. Because we had all the tornadoes that came through Mississippi, which we'll talk about in a bit, I guess.
That's for Paul's story time.
Well, yeah, partially. But, the first week was 90 hours of working. I don't remember what the second week was. But
it was around 60.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
And then lots of going in on the weekend and doing stuff from home. And yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So basically disasters.
Yeah, pretty much. So what about you, Kevin? What have you been up to?
Comics, while also dealing with my dad still, which has been part of the problem. I can't really get out much, so. But Mailbox Rocket Ship is launched. No pun, actually pun definitely intended.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Apprentice is still going. Coda's World is online for the first time in many years.
Yeah, I forget how far into that I am right now.
Yeah, I saw somebody was reading it, and the first thing I thought was, that must be Paul.
Because
I saw page views. I was like, that's got to be Paul.
Yeah, I'm up to October the 19th of 2000.
Well, that's after the boat, right?
No.
No.
They had just gotten to the boat. I've got, five, 600 to go with the boat.
It's not 500 or 600.
Before it was even a meme, they're on a boat.
Yeah, no, I started that. I should, copyright that. But yeah, Coda's World is online. I've got forums and there's, actually an everywincomics.com now, and I have a Nintendo now, and a Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I brought him a Super Nintendo.
Sweet.
And I accidentally erased all Kit's Super Mario World saves, because I was like, it's my game, and wait a minute.
Which is fine, I'll just replay again, it's no big loss.
Yeah, I can replay that game any day.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I found SimCity on eBay for, $7.
Yeah.
So I've got SimCity for the Super Nintendo on the way because it's freaking awesome.
Yes, it was.
Kevin likes controlling people.
You should go to the flea market.
We did.
We did, and I had to come back like 2 minutes after I walked in, so I didn't get to look. I got a power cord for the Super NES, though, and that was the important thing.
Nice.
But honestly, the dude at the flea market is charging like eBay prices.
I mean, he looks up, especially if it's a rare thing, and he does have some rare stuff, but go there expecting a deal.
Yeah, you can find cheaper on like trade-in sites.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Darn, he knows what he has.
I know. He's a smart seller. He's also probably on meth, according to Austin.
Okay, well, this is coming from Austin.
He'd know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would know. So, anyway, that's what I've been up to, is comics, and video games.
Sweet.
Now, I've just received word that we're going to have another person joining the Smagcast here in just a moment.
Awesome.
If we can. Paul, if you would please invite Mike.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be helpful, wouldn't it?
We will have the Tech Cranny with us. All right, ladies and gentlemen, coming to us from beautiful downtown internet suburbs is
Mike.
How you doing, welcome. Mike?
Hi, Mike. Yeah, downtown in the next room. I'm doing okay.
That's good.
Now that I'm done with work crap on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. All knows your pain.
Yep.
Yeah, I had to last minute find two people to work two 12-hour shifts Sunday and Monday. Mm-hmm. Because they are filming a Lifetime show at our garage. It's have you ever heard of this Lifetime show? I can't remember what it's called. It's something about dancing.
It's going to have something to do with a woman getting beat by a man. Like,
that's true. Yeah.
No, it's actually some reality little girl, black little girl dancing troupe.
Okay.
I forget what it's called.
I've seen the commercials. It basically looks like a bunch of kids being exploited by a woman who had a bad childhood.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oprah.
No!
But they'll be filming that at my place. Not my place. Not my house. My work. Monday.
You did not tell me they were coming to this house.
Yeah. So they'll be doing that and be setting up for it tomorrow. Cool. So I had to find people to do that. To work security for that.
Nice.
I kind of knew they needed someone yesterday, but my boss didn't call me and tell me, hey, we need to find people. So I was like, well, maybe she found someone, you know, else, someone to do it, you know, that's not one of my employees. But nope, got a text today. And both times, okay, so we ordered pizza for dinner today. And I start, as soon as I take a bite of pizza, I get a text saying we need to find someone, you know, for 10 to 10 Monday. I'm like, oh, crap, okay. So I finish eating those two pieces and then start working on doing that. And I get that finished and, you know, then, but after that, I just wasn't really hungry because, you know, it wasn't really super stressful, but I was just kind of, fuck, I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
Now, so about, you know, an hour passes. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to eat some more pizza. So I get two more pieces of pizza. As soon as I take a bite of pizza, I get a text saying I need to find a person for a Sunday. So that pizza is cursed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, you should just stop with a pizza, make a sandwich.
Yeah.
Or maybe a pizza sandwich.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
That way you don't directly touch the pizza. You're touching the bread on the pizza.
I think it's more of when the pizza touches my mouth.
Hmm. Ah, okay. Well, that's what Mike's been up to.
Yep.
All right, well, I guess it's time for the entertainment crevasse.
Let's delve deep into what's entertaining.
Yes, let's delve deeply into my crevasse.
No comment.
I'll get the lube.
All right. Well, first off, from what I've heard, since I don't get to go see movies anymore, I've heard that Godzilla is basically a somewhat extended cameo in his own movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like a bit of a letdown. Because I was really wanting to see some WCW-style wrestling with lizards.
Well, one lizard.
Well, a lizard and a flying whatever.
Most people I know that have gone to see it have said it was quite good.
Okay, because I'm... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Paul was telling me that the older movies tend to, like, not really have Godzilla until towards the end either. So.
Yeah, fair enough. You know what... you know what they should do for the next one, though?
Hmm.
Jet Jaguar.
Jet Jaguar!
Jet Jaguar, his mother never really loved him.
Yeah, that would be like, cool.
That would. Giant fighting Jack Nicholson robot, that would be great.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen it yet either. I kind of want to. I just haven't had time.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, and X-Men came out this weekend, and...
Oh, yeah.
Some people were saying it's as good as X2, which is great, and some people were saying, man, I hate that movie.
Well,
so
I mean, yeah, everybody's going to have an opinion and everything, but
yeah,
still, the previews that I saw, it looked pretty good.
Well, my problem is it's got that kind of, we've got so many characters shoved into this turkey that,
because if we don't do it, somebody's going to be butthurt because their favorite didn't get put in.
Oh, well, not even that.
They're still leaving people out.
Yeah, Gambit's in the next one.
Some of the characters are just too complicated to fit into a movie that already has more characters than most people want to pay attention to.
I don't know about that, because, I mean, they stuck Bishop in this movie, and you can't get much more complicated than Bishop unless you're Cable.
Yeah.
What about the female character who's, like, got a brain from one person, a ninja Japanese girl's body, and then, like, all
of Psylocke?
Huh?
Who?
Psylocke.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would be a hard character to kind of, like, make people care about all of a sudden with that long of a backstory.
Well, that's why you introduce her as the British version first,
mm-hmm.
and then do the complicated stuff as part of the movie.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, because that's the only way you could do that. But
fit with everything else they were doing.
Well, they can do that in another one. I understand the next movie is going to be X-Men Apocalypse.
Ooh, Donkey Lips. So,
yeah, Donkey Lips is coming.
Awesome. I always liked him.
Yeah, I know. He was a really interesting character. So, mm-hmm. I mean, he was the first mutant. So, that should be interesting.
He's like, what, 3,500 years old or something like
that? Yeah, I know. He was Egyptian.
Yep.
Worshipped as a pharaoh at one point.
Mm-hmm.
How has he managed to stay alive so long? Sorry, I never read
comics. You don't question things, you just ask, accept.
No, part of it is his mutant power because he's a shapeshifter, and the other part is he's been keeping himself alive with alien celestial technology.
Right, yeah.
So,
like you do.
Yeah, speaking of which, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Seen the new trailer?
No, not the newest one.
Okay, I'm really excited because there's a place called Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Spelled K-N-O-W,
nice.
Where, and in the comics, it's a spaceport built in the head of a dead celestial. And in the movie, it's a spaceport built in the head of a dead celestial.
Nice. I like it when they do that.
It's a big head with, like, part of a spinal column floating through space being used as a spaceport.
That is awesome.
Blew my mind. Also, we finally get Groot doing dialogue, which is Vin Diesel saying, "I am Groot."
Well,
I like Vin.
Hodor.
Well, no, it reminds me of Iron Giant because it's the same guy.
Well, yeah.
So, and I hate to just keep going on about Marvel stuff, but there's been like a lot of Marvel stuff the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys know they're doing an Ant-Man movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it was being directed by Edgar Wright.
Okay, who is that for the people who don't know?
Okay, Shaun of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
Hot Fuzz, World's End.
Okay.
Is this actually going to be a series movie?
No, it wasn't. Simon Pegg movies. The three big Simon Pegg movies were.
Right, no, I know those movies. That's insane.
He's no longer on the project, which is a shame because he's been the major force developing it since 2006.
Huh.
And now he's off the project, and my enthusiasm for this thing has just bottomed out entirely.
Well, Ant-Man's a fun character, sort of.
Well,
not really.
Well, this isn't Hank Pym.
Oh, okay, good.
This is Irredeemable Ant-Man, the guy who stole the suit to commit crimes and ended up becoming a hero.
Okay, yeah, because Pym was not a nice guy.
No, he beat his wife.
Yeah.
This is not the sort of person you really want to do a movie about. Of course, I kind of thought that about an alcoholic wearing an armored suit, but they made that work.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so, he becomes a nice guy.
I guess.
Yeah.
Iron Man? Yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, we like Iron Man.
Yeah, well, yeah, we do like Iron Man. I like Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
I like him as much as hot dogs, for a given value of hot dogs.
Fair enough. Back to pork shoulders.
Yes, back to pork shoulders.
Okay, so.
But, there's that, Marvel stuff, and, yeah, honestly, I don't know if I can think of anything. Anybody else have any interesting stuff about television or film or comic books or shadow puppets?
Nope.
Oh, speaking of puppets, Andy and comics, our friend Andy Childress was featured on Mississippi Public Broadcasting show Mississippi Roads.
Yes, he was.
And, oh, you and Kit were on there, although they just, like, put in the very last bit where you guys say thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of, that was interesting.
Weird.
Yeah, they at least had, like, the cover of Aaron Apprentice issue 2 up.
Yeah.
So that was kind of nice.
I was just glad they spotlighted a local comic book artist. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
I agree. Andy's an interesting fellow.
Yeah, you know, his brother just seemed at a loss for words to describe him.
Yeah.
I find myself in the same situation. Quite. Who's this Andy person? He's a Bigfoot wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best I can describe.
The Bubba Squatch.
The Bubba Squatch.
Yes.
Goony Goo Goo.
Yeah. And I was in the background of one of the shots, just very briefly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could see me lean back.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, that was like from the first convention.
No, it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
That was from...
Yeah,
it was. That was from the one that we just went to this past fall.
Nope. Clark shot like a couple of extra things, but almost all the footage was from the first one. Because they had it cut together already, and they delayed it for a year. They waited for a whole season to air it, because Andy was talking about that a lot.
Hmm.
Yeah,
Clark sent him that story.
Hmm?
Especially since he had to cancel it for this coming year.
Yeah, yeah. Because he was like hoping the first one, this story, would bring people to the second one, and they sat on it. Till after the second one. So that was kind of a thing. But well, I guess we ought to climb out of my crevasse and snuggle up into Mike's tech cranny.
Oh, my tech cranny. ZeniMax has decided to sue Oculus, saying that they're in breach of agreements and using technology that ZeniMax developed for their virtual reality headset. Conveniently, this happens after they were bought by Facebook for umpteen billion dollars.
And after DARPA has started doing stuff with it.
Well, they're saying that, I don't know really what they're saying they stole, but, you know, John Carmack, who worked for and founded id Software, ZeniMax bought id, so he worked for them. And he did develop a lot of the pre-warping, because the way the Oculus works is just uses a flat screen, but it uses two magnifying lenses to, you know, distort the image and make it seem like it's wraparound.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that, of course, distorts the image, so what they do is they pre-distort it in the computer, and he programmed all the shaders and stuff for that. Well, I'm thinking they probably think, well, he did that at our place, so it's ours, and you have to pay us for it. Yeah, but it delves into the area of when you work for a company, they own everything that you do.
It depends on the company. Really icky.
Mm-hmm. Disney's like that.
Some companies in general are like that. If they can get money out of it somewhere, they will.
Some companies do that. Some companies don't. You know, it's kind of, you know, it's from graphic design. Like, I know one person who works for the graphic designer we use, and she still gets to use all the stuff she does under his name or with him. She still gets to use it in her portfolio.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are good companies like Google, actually. They have, like, a program where you can actually do your own side projects on, you know, in their facilities. So.
And they've talked about getting rid of it, but they're keeping it.
Yeah. So it's just... And the other thing I don't get is, even if they're saying that, you know, Carmack took stuff, why are they suing Oculus? Because that's kind of... Well, they should be suing the guy that took the stuff if they're saying he did take it.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. So, this is basically, they want a chunk of that $2 billion.
Yeah, I mean, they have been very disappointed in their acquisition of id because they haven't brought any money in. So,
oh, that's awesome.
That one game, what was that game they came out
Rage.
With? Rage, that's the one.
I did not like that.
No one else did either.
Lots of people have problems with that, but... But, and also, you can also argue that id Software is kind of worthless without John Carmack.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what's the point? They're just another company now.
But do you think it'll hurt Oculus?
It depends on how...
Are their pockets very deep? Like, do you think they can fight this legal battle or long enough to get it to what will probably be a settlement?
I think it's going to be Facebook fighting the battle, personally.
They're a part of Facebook now, so they probably have all the money in the world to fight it or pay it, but it's just, it can't be good. I mean, I'm not sure how opportunistic this is, if it's just, you know, how much merit it has. I like to think that it doesn't have any merit, but you never know what a judge will side with.
And we don't know what his contract was when he was with them.
Yeah, and we don't know. I mean, what their main thing they're saying is that Palmer Luckey, the guy who actually created the Rift, said they're saying that he breached non-disclosure agreements, which I'm not quite sure how that goes. But it depends on how bulletproof that their case is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, of course, nobody knows the full story yet because it's all just being filed now.
Well, what are they hoping to get out of it? Like, what
money.
Is
money?
They just want money.
Yeah. Money.
They don't want any patents.
No. They want money.
I mean, there's not any patents, really to speak of. They're just saying that. At the heart of it, they're saying it's a copyright and it's copyrighted code that was taken.
So, are they arguing then that the code shouldn't? They shouldn't be allowed to use the code anymore? Are they trying to take it back?
I'm not really sure. It's like I said, it's still just been filed, and it's not...
Yeah, we don't have the details yet.
It hasn't come to light, but... Hmm. I mean, they could go as far as barring sales if they ever come out with
the... Well, I saw a picture on the internet of somebody, it's like they're looking in the window of some game store. I want to say it was something like a GameStop, and they already had an Oculus headset there. So...
It's possible. I mean, they have the developer kits. I mean, it's not...
I was going to say, I thought I saw something like what Kit saw in there, or it was a stock photo of a Virtual Boy.
They actually have a Virtual Boy emulator for the...
They also have a Game Boy emulator for the Rift, that's
just kind of goofy in that it's a CG Game Boy you play in
3D. In the Rift, yeah.
But the Virtual Boy emulator is just like playing the Virtual Boy.
Oh, God.
So you get your neck hurts, your eyes bleed, you're really upset that you're playing it.
Actually, I'd assume it's better than the original Game Boy in that, one, your head's not locked down, and two...
It's got two colors.
Well, no, it doesn't have any more colors, but...
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a Virtual Boy if I ever came across one cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't say I'd play it for very long, but...
Yeah. It'd be fun. And when they came out, I was like, that's awesome.
I remember when it came out going, wow, my eyes hurt. I have a headache. Can we go home now?
I never even got to really see one. I just heard about them, and that was it.
Well, we have one in our local Toys R Us, and we were there all the time going, oh, look at this, look at that. I can't see
Toys
now.
Toys R Us in Jonesboro, we were too small. You had to go to Memphis or Little Rock.
Mm-hmm. But let's hear what else. A German court has ruled that you can't keep compromising photos after a breakup.
Oh, that's cool.
Basically, saying that if you have nudies of your ex, you have to get rid of them.
In Germany.
In Germany, yes.
That's a long way to go to get rid of some stuff.
Yeah, you have to go all the way to Germany. Well, Carl's already there.
Oh, okay.
My friend Carl's already there, so we can just email them to him, and he'll, quote-unquote, get rid of them, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because Carl's a nice, upstanding law professional.
Well, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll have a lot more tech to talk about, because E3 is coming up soon.
Yay!
Lots of game news.
Yay.
I really hope we get some kind of Oculus reveal there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a date for the consumer version.
Yeah. And a price point?
Well, I'm assuming they're going to try to keep around the $300 range,
mm-hmm.
either $300 or $350, because that's what the developer kits have been.
Yeah.
The first one was $300, and the current one you can buy or pre-order is $350.
Okay.
And Wired article I read, they talked about how with the Facebook acquisition, they can actually put more cutting-edge tech in it while not increasing their price point.
Yeah, because they got $2 billion now.
Yeah. Well, they also don't have to worry about being profitable. Mm-hmm. See, before the Facebook acquisition, they'd have to make sure they had a profit margin in their units.
Mm-hmm.
But now they can do a lot of custom parts, custom technology, and not have to worry about turning a profit right away.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think when they got the $2 billion, somebody just walked in and just made it rain?
Probably.
Yeah. In the boardroom or something, just like, ah, money flying everywhere.
Show me those Zuckerbergs.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, but speaking of money, this is a slight derail, but I found it to be really amusing. I saw a thing from, I guess it was a TED Talk, probably not, of Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about how if he's walking down the street, he sees a coin on the ground, he has to decide whether or not he wants to pick it up. Because if it's a penny, no way. If it's a nickel, not doing it. If it's a dime, might get the dime. If it's a quarter, he's definitely going to get the quarter. Because, you know, that could go for parking meters and laundry and stuff like that. Well, mm-hmm. he wanted to figure out what would be the equivalent of that for Bill Gates. Like, what would be his threshold?
I have heard this.
Yeah.
It was something like...
It was $140,000. If it was anything less than that, scale-wise, then Bill Gates would be like, no, I don't need $140,000. You deal with that. I'll just keep walking.
Uh-huh. I kept walking past a dollar bill the other day.
What? Are you insane? I would have picked that up with no hesitation.
Yeah.
I was on the sidewalk in front of a business, and there were other people out in front of it, and I was like, well, maybe one of them dropped it, so I'm just going to keep going. And then sure enough, after I walked past it, like three people are sitting there trying to go, hey, ma'am, you dropped this. And I was like, it's not mine. Y'all keep it.
I would have just grabbed it and run off laughing.
Which, A, shows that, yay, I love living in the South. And B, I don't know, it was odd.
See,
I tried to just leave it for somebody else, and like three different people wanted me to have it.
In my neighborhood, there would have been a fight over it.
Yeah.
And I would have been in the fight.
Mm-hmm. And you would have lost.
Yes, I would. Hey, what happened to Kevin? He's in the hospital. Both his legs got broken for $1.
Yeah.
That's a deal.
Thank
wow.
you.
Wow.
Sorry, when you leave yourself open, it's out of my mouth before I can do anything.
So, One thing, that quote about the Bill Gates thing, I heard a stand-up doing the same routine. Because he was talking about, you know, the amount of money, like, you know, the equivalent of finding, like, a $20 bill in your pocket. He did the math on how much it would be for Bill Gates. And he'd be like, huh, why does this coat suddenly weigh, like, 250 pounds? So, but he was using the exact same analogies.
Right.
Somebody stole something from somebody, and I'd rather believe Neil deGrasse Tyson did math.
Yeah, and the video was kind of old, so.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, anything maybe left in the crevasse?
Well, no, we're in the cranny.
Oh, cranny. Cranny. Sorry.
Well, a biotech startup in Massachusetts is developing a product. It's a spray that contains bacteria that apparently our years of using soap has killed off on our skin, that it oxidizes urea. And they had someone try it out by going 4 weeks without soap or shampoo. No, it's apparently our years of soaps have killed the good bacteria. You know how you have good bacteria in your gut?
Yeah.
Apparently we used to have good bacteria on our skin too.
Well, yeah, now we just have staff. Did you see the thing about, where is it, Minnesota or Michigan? Maybe Wisconsin? Gosh, I always get those.
Minnesota. It's Minnesota, because I know what you're talking about.
Antibacterial soap.
Right, yeah, I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Minnesota has outlawed antibacterial soap.
Good for them.
Which, I don't know, that's just kind of a weird thing. You don't really get. You don't really see the states taking a lot of action like that. I would have expected the FDA to, do something about that first.
Well, they're too busy taking kickbacks from people, I'm sure.
And yeah. In other news, Kevin needs to find a new brand of soap.
Yeah, I've been using Dial,
which is antibacterial.
Yeah. I need to get a soap that's bacterial. I need filth brand soap.
Considering that you do have a fairly frail person with you, maybe having some antibacterial soap isn't such a bad idea.
I don't know. Pretty filthy anyway. Anything else in the tech cranny, Mike?
Not really. I think we've reached bottom of the tech cranny here
for this week. Well, Emily, what have you got to bring to the table?
Yeah, let's start climbing out of the cranny.
I'm out of your cranny, man.
Yeah, I don't have a name for my place, but
Emily's place.
So I guess we can talk about some things that I've been talking about with folks, and that's like promotional stuff and how to get people to want to buy your stuff or get excited about your stuff, because I don't do marketing per se. Mm-hmm. Somebody else does that, but I do promotions, which is just getting the marketing material out there. It's been fun, so I have to do things like social media and all that. I learned a few things. This wonderful advertising promotions company here in Jackson did I just spaced on their name. Anyway, they did a workshop, and they explained Facebook. And outside of the analytics that you can download from Facebook, I also learned that Facebook has part of their algorithm allows for posts to have a 4-hour lifespan. So if you have this really awesome campaign that you're doing and you designed a post for it and you post it and then 2 hours later an hour later you do an update post, well, you have just killed that wonderful post that you created to begin with. So like if you're going to do updates, do them as comments or something, or wait 4 hours. And then they also go into some other things like for Facebook making pictures the optimal size, pixel-wise, and things like that, just so it looks good. They also had a really good point that I hadn't thought about if you share a picture with one of your products, make sure your logo is in the picture such that people can't easily get rid of it. Because a lot of times pictures get shared and shared and shared, and so eventually like the original post might be separated from the picture. But as long as the picture still has your logo in it, people will know where it came from. If you don't have that, then the picture can get lost and someone else could possibly attach their name to it. you know, easily without Photoshop, and that, you know, that's kind of a, that can be an issue.
Yes.
So we've, I'm still kind of figuring out Twitter a little bit. That one I like. It's a little conversational. We have some Twitter people that we follow that are hilarious. And then Instagram is apparently just pretty pictures. So if you want, if you have pretty pictures, post them. It's also been pretty good for networking. On that one, we have a lot more interchange with other cafes. And and so you kind of get ideas and stuff that way through just images, which is, I mean, you can, you, I think you can put like a little caption for it.
Yeah.
The thing I don't like about it is that that one's almost solely, as far as posting, it's mobile. And I like keyboards, and so I don't, using my phone is kind of difficult sometimes.
Yeah, the thing about Instagram is they have like a web version called Webstagram, but it really sucks.
It does. So. But they also, there's this other one that's, it's free. It used to be called Stratagram, and now it has this, another name that I think is silly sounding. And that one's really useful because it, it will do, it will track hashtags for you and make it easier to run and track campaigns or contests. And it, it also provides analytics of your Instagram account. So, but it doesn't allow you to post. But it does allow you to run contests and so forth with a hashtag, which is really cool. Anyway, I've been reading about how some bigger companies use it and to give away stuff. And I think that's really neat. Basically, if you can put up pictures about your stuff and give away free things from time to time, you really garner quite a few followers. Some comic, specifically some artists that I follow on Facebook, they'll do things where they'll ask questions or they'll show, like, updates on, here's what I'm working on. And they'll, like, ask a question and be like, hey, should I have this or this? They may already have their mind made up as to which one they're going to use, but they like to make the people feel like they're participating. And I think that really helps garner some good feelings. And good feelings generate sales.
See, my problem is I've got a lot of very quiet people because I try to get, like, feedback from people, and I get, like, the same two people just, like, liking my posts, and I don't get any actual feedback from them on stuff, you know? I've got a lot of very avid followers that apparently don't have fingers, so they can't type, and they don't make money. So that's my guess, anyway. That's what I'm figuring. But, like, I tell you who does a really good Twitter account is Taco Bell.
I can imagine that. They have good PR people.
Taco Bell's Twitter account is hilarious because they will respond to everything with the most smart-ass stuff.
Yeah, when, you know, a little while back they had that, a lot of people were like, this isn't even real beef, blah, blah, blah. And their response was brilliant. They were like, they let it go for a little while, and then they're like, okay, would you want to just eat, like, unflavored, unseasoned beef? Didn't think so.
Well, you know, I don't want to eat unflavored beef. I just don't.
Well, yes, but not.
I just don't want to eat stuff out of a caulking gun all the time.
Yeah.
Another thing I've learned is the power of consistency. Like,
yes.
When I took over the Facebook page just 2 weeks ago for my company, we're up 1,000% in interaction and reach. And it's just because someone's posting something consistently. It doesn't, even some of them, I thought I, like, they always say pictures with images, or posts with images, reach more people. But I found that sometimes my posts that don't have a picture will reach more people than the, some of the ones that do have pictures.
That's because Facebook has sort of altered their algorithm. They actually choke more than they did before. And they also will choke stuff with pictures more than just regular posts.
Well, yeah, I mean, we they
want you to pay.
Right. We rely solely on, we haven't paid for anything. And we rely solely on people organically seeing it. So, and just in 2 weeks, you know, every post is being seen by at least 30 people, sometimes over 100 after a day. But another thing, like from an artist standpoint, because a lot of people, it's, you know, it can be a hard thing to be consistent with sometimes. The Abominable Charles Christopher is a comic. It's a web comic, and he does sell books. He does do like volumes. I think he's up to volumes, or about to have volume 3 out. Mm-hmm. Frenchman named Carl Kerschel. Oh, it's funny. He's got a German spelled name, but he's in France. And
well, they invaded.
He posts every Wednesday, and he either, if he's not available to post, he always makes sure to have artwork from somebody else lined up. And it doesn't always advance the storyline necessarily, but it it's, you know, sometimes he'll just have artwork up that's like, there's this one that was done recently about his dog, but he did it in the style that he did some of his character profiles for some of the characters in the, and so I think, so he seems like someone who's really, and he makes it really easy. Like, you go to the page, you can read the comic, and then he makes it really easy to keep up with him. You have links to all of his social media stuff, and you have links directly to where he's selling his mm-hmm. book, and as well as images of what you're going to get. So he's doing a really good job of A, consistency, and B, just making it really easy to find all the stuff that you want to find about this yeah. author.
So yeah,
appreciate that.
Yeah, my only problem with like consistency, like when I miss updates, is it's usually I have no control over it happening. It's like, okay, I'm gonna do this comic today. No, you're not. And I don't have any like backup buffer right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the only plan I have is to like try to draw like a bunch of hand turkeys.
You could have a screaming and, like, bird.
See, I think
I'm not doing yelling bird.
Kevin, I think even that would be good. Like, if you just had like a quick sketch, like, well, life happened again. Here's a napkin sketch for you.
Yeah, see, that'd be
good.
I mean,
that would be something. You would still be talking to your fans.
I still think my favorite one I did was the hand turkey with a broadsword fighting a tank.
Mm.
Awesome.
So I should do little dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, there's this one, webcomic that I read, Blaster Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, that, like, right now, okay, they live off of their comics now. They have been doing that for, like, 3 months. Then they have a few comics, and they're part of, like, overall comic group.
Mm-hmm.
I don't forget what that one's called, but anyway.
Is it Hive Networks?
Yeah, it's Hive Networks.
Okay.
So, and they're moving shortly to a new apartment with some other webcomic artists. So they're asking for people to submit, you know, one-off, here, just draw something. We got to move. We can't do updates, but we're going to update. It's just with other people's stuff. And I've actually thought about making one and going, hey, guys, I don't have a webcomic, but I have a YouTube page. Can you promote that? Because they've got a lot of readers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that would be fun, too, to be like, hey, if you... You know, just to get a backlog, you can even sell it that way. Just say, hey, just in case, because, you know, life's kind of hectic right now, and just to make sure people have something to read, how about you fans submit a doodle for me to post when I can't get an update in on time?
Welcome to Newark. That would be fun.
You should do a webcomic, Paul, and call it Welcome to Newark.
Yeah.
Because you wanted me to call Mailbox that.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, no, I'm not calling it Welcome to Newark. I'm calling it the unused name of your son.
Mm-hmm. That was funny.
But isn't it also a character?
What, Mailbox Rocket Ship?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
No. It's just, and I love the fact that people are always like, oh, man, what does Mailbox Rocket Ship mean? And I was being interviewed about it, and the guy who was interviewing me was like, what does it mean? I was like, well, what do you think it means? And he's like, well, I think it means, like, you know, like the mundane moving into the fantastical, you know, like Mailbox Rocket Ship. I was like, I like that. Let's just pretend it's that.
Yeah.
Because the actual reason I always give is, you know, the truth. My friend wanted to name his son Mailbox Rocket Ship Hamblin, and his wife wouldn't let him. So,
It's actually a longer story than that.
I know, but I don't usually have time to. And I don't remember it now, but at the time I didn't have time to tell the longer story. So.
Well, the quick of it is when I was 7, we were leaving my grandparents' house to go back home. And I said, hey, if I ever have a kid, I'm going to name him Mailbox. And everybody thought that was funny. So I never forgot that. And then when my son was going to be born, my ex-wife was like, what should we call him? I was like, Mailbox? And she says, you can't name the kid Mailbox. I'm like, yeah, it is a middle name. Rocket Ship, Mailbox Rocket Ship. But if it's a girl, Mailboxia Rocket Ship Etta.
I should do a girls only issue and call it that.
Yeah.
You'll be happy to know I've got Trevor worked in, so.
Nice.
I ain't driving.
Yeah.
Now we should make him the school bus driver.
He is not the school bus driver. Oh, he ain't driving.
Funny. Everyone would die.
Everyone would die every day. There's no kids left in school. The robot killed them all.
Wasn't my fault.
He threw his hand out the window. He said there was a spider on it. Where did he get that tongue?
All right, so I guess we should get out of Emily's area.
Yeah.
Emily's area.
Place. Evacuate the area.
Yeah.
So let's move on to story time. Come on, grab your friends.
Yes. Come on in and sit right down for Paul's story time.
Hey, can we do it like gather around and have someone like standing behind you doing like pastel drawings on the big board?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Time to put Pappy away.
Well, I wouldn't go in there, but sure, if you want like a crazy senile old man.
Paul's favorite childhood show host.
No, it's Picture Pages.
That wasn't from his childhood. No. We were in high school.
Yeah.
His childhood. Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah fair enough.
This is Kerbopple's Caboose.
Clickety-clack. Clickety-clack. Rumbly-tumbly down the track.
I always wanted the marker from Picture Pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody did.
Didn't it have, like, a cape or something?
No, but it was, like, a little weird.
It didn't go to Minecon. All right, so...
Right, story time.
Story time. So,
gather round.
We had, on April 28th, we had a round of tornadoes come through the state. 20, to be exact.
Jeez.
Damages in 27 counties. 1,119 homes destroyed or major damaged. 2,390 total homes affected. 89 businesses destroyed or major damaged. And 200 total affected, with 14 deaths.
Wow.
The town of Louisville, where Andy lives, was hit by 2 tornadoes back-to-back.
Included their hospital.
Yes, I'm getting that. Took out the hospital. There is a mobile hospital. This is not MASH. Yeah. Located in North Carolina. Probably never been tested. They've got it out before to show people, but that's more or less the extent of it, I believe.
Look at our thing.
Mm-hmm. It's a mobile hospital. It's, you know, it's on like 18 wheelers.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, state of the art, everything, completely self-contained. You just go out to an area, you drop it down over the course of 3 to 4 days, and you have a fully functioning, albeit somewhat small, hospital.
Neat.
Yeah.
A lot of mobile hospital.
Yeah, it really is. So I had to go to Louisville to film it coming in, the first part, the ICU unit, which takes the longest to build or put together. So I filmed that coming in, blah, blah, that was all great. Another section of it was coming in on I-20. They had stopped in somewhere in Alabama to sleep because, like I said, it's coming from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to take pictures of it entering the state. I said, no problem. I can go do that. So they said, all right, go out to the way station on the Mississippi-Alabama line on I-20. They're going to be there at 10. So I leave about 7:45 in the morning. I'm going out. Got my camera. I've got the Versa, or as we call it at work, the silver golf ball, because it got hit by hail. And it looks like a golf ball. So I make it all the way to Morton when my boss calls. He goes, yeah, they're not going to be there at that time. They're actually going to be at the rest stop at 1 o'clock. So I turn around and come back because I'm like, I'm not wasting that much time in Meridian. There's nothing to do in Meridian. I mean, maybe there is. I mean, they have a Walmart, but...
They also have a theater. Not that you have time for that.
No, they have the Naval Air Station.
Yeah, I have been there. That's a really nice place. They got Storm Ready designated like a year ago. Anyway, so I go back to work, and we're activated at this point, so it's 12-hour days, so whatever. Grab my lunch, all this stuff, head back to Meridian, go to the way station. I get there. Let's see. They were supposed to be coming through at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. That's what it was. Get there about 1:15, and I go inside, and the people who work there, of course, ask me what I'm doing because I'm in full MEMA gear. And I let them know. I'm like, you know, this hospital's coming through. I got to take some pictures. They're like, oh, really? This? They're going to stop here? And I was like, yeah, they're just going to stop here so they can use the restroom, whatever. This is what I've been told. So the poor ladies at work there is like, oh, my gosh, this is like a big to-do. Because it's a rest stop. Nothing really goes on there.
Yeah.
So they start setting up all this stuff, and they make all this these like two or three different types of tea.
There's heartbreak coming to this story, I know.
Yeah, stay with me, folks. It's going to get interesting.
So they're making tea.
Yeah, they make tea. The security guard, like old guy, you know, he's like probably negative 3 years from retirement. He's past retirement age, but he's still working. He's, you know, kind of cordoned off an area where these 18-wheelers can park. And we wait. And everybody's like, well, are they still coming? So I call my boss, and he's like, yeah. As far as I know, they're still coming. So I guess he checked. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I end up, like, riding around with the security guard guy on his golf cart. We're just, like, going up hills and, like, off-roading it and hanging out. And he's calling Mississippi Highway Patrol, whichever troop happens to be over that, because they're going to have Highway Patrol escorting him. And they can't give him a definitive answer. One of the people he talked to said, yeah, they delivered it yesterday, which is not true. One of them said, yeah, they're already coming back, which is also, again, not true. Because I called up to Louisville, and they're like, no, they're going to be here at, like, 5. Wait around for, like, 3 hours. I finally talked to my boss. He's like, oh, yeah. So I finally talked to the guy from FEMA, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's right. We were supposed to stop at that rest stop. Yeah, they never stopped. They just drove past us at some point. So I'm like, oh crap. So I have to go in inside and, you know, tell all these people that work there who have gotten all this stuff ready that's not going to happen. And I talked to them for like 20 more minutes, and they're, you know, still really interested in what I do. And they're sorry, you know, they didn't come through, and they felt bad for me for waiting there for 3 hours. So they gave me a gift bag with a Visit Meridian, like, tumbler cup, which is actually really nice, and some Visit Meridian leather coasters.
Dude, I'll take a leather coaster. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's 4 of them, and they're in a nice tin with the top neat. Where you can say, yeah, I know. I was like,
we need to go to Meridian and get some of that stuff.
I know. It just takes you sitting at a rest stop for 3 hours.
Well, you just can't get up from this. And you say, hey, remember me.
Well, I actually do have to go back because they actually wanted some of the stuff that we produce.
Oh, cool.
So I was like, yeah, I'm totally coming back, guys. It was an enjoyable time. It was nice being out of the office, given that I had been at work for like 10, 11, 12 days at this point. And I got to, you know, talk to a bunch of people who would come up with like, Mima, what is that? And I'd give them a spiel, and they're like, is that hail damage? And I'm like, no, I've just been dealing with FEMA, and I had a hammer.
Carl, what the hell are you doing with that hammer? I don't really know. I just woke up a hole in it.
Which is basically, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my little adventure.
Yeah, it's
one
fine.
Of the things that reminds me of is the last time I was here, I was driving home dodging storms. This is the day before the tornadoes hit Mississippi. They hit Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was dodging some of them on 55, but I-30 and I-40 around Little Rock were getting slammed. Mm-hmm. I think this is where Mayflower and Bologna got hit really bad. And Bologna had already been hit before, 3 years earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, they just finished building their high school, and now it's flattened again. So, you know, it's And then some poor people had lost their lives, and they're just all this damage. I think there was, like, somebody tweeted on Twitter drone video footage of them going over the interstate, and you can just see the areas that are just flattened.
Yeah we had drone footage from Louisville.
Well, before we close this, I just want to add one personal thing. I talked to Andy, like, right after the storms, you know, to make sure he was alive.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, we're all right. We got the house still, you know, didn't have any damage. We don't have power or internet or nothing. Apparently, everybody else he knows outside of his family is, like, homeless right now.
Yeah, he said his neighbor's house was in his and his brother's yard.
Yeah.
That's two separate houses, folks. They each have a house. And,
And like,
but the people survived. He said, well,
that's a good thing.
The sheriff and the wife and kids were okay.
Yeah. Well, the sheriff's his cousin. So.
Oh, okay. Well.
Yeah,
I did go on the same line there. I did go get my hair cut yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And my hairstylist lost her cousin in Louisville.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, like, all the cousin's family are homeless right now because,
Yeah. Andy said, like, most of the people he works with at the grocery store are, like, homeless. So, Andy admits he lucked out big time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up for the Smagcast this week. We'll be coming back next week with another group solitaire. So until then, final thoughts, Mike.
Mississippi's number one Googled term is twerking.
No shock. Final thoughts, Git.
Maybe next time I'll actually have enough stuff to think about and be more conversive. Sorry, I'm quiet.
Okay, final thoughts, Emily.
I think adding a Minecraft cape to a wedding dress would be like the ultimate nerdy wedding.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. Final thoughts, Paul.
You know, 12-hour days get really, really old after about 11.
I bet.
Yeah.
And final thoughts, Kevin.
It's 2 till blue. Time to put Pappy away. All right, well, that's it, and we will see you guys next time. So until then, stay safe and stay smaggy.
Bye!
Bye!
Now, was I not recording the whole time?
What? I'll kill you.
Not funny. Not funny.
To me.
2 Smagcast If you have any thoughts or questions, you can email us at thesmagcast@gmail.com. Our theme music is Out of School by Jazar from the album Traveler's Guide, which is available from freemusicarchive.org and used under Creative Commons license.